Parker, reel 8.
You mentioned the grapnels, but you also mentioned in your notes something about reels of canvas. What were they for? Reels of canvas.
Yes, well, we fitted reels of canvas between the rear of the tracks, between the rear of the tracks, because the Mark IV had an outside petrol tank at the rear, whereas the Mark I to IV didn't.
And what was the purpose of this reel of canvas?
So that the infantry could run over it. See what I mean?
So the tank went on unwinding over the reel.
The tank would crush the wire down, and the canvas behind would follow on for the infantry to have a passage.
Was that ever used in the on the Western Front?
Oh yes,
those reels of canvas.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you meant?
Well, you bolted it either side on the inside of the track.
What was the paravane like? Describe it.
A V with a open mouth. Hey.
I see, carry on.
And it was to break the wire or force it downwards as you ran through it. Mostly it was to break the wire.
Yeah. Where did you bolt it on the tank?
On the inside of the forward distance wheel. You had distance wheels up in the hull, each side, carrying your tracks. Well, then we fitted larger bolts on the inside of the track and bolted these paravanes to them.
Was this a successful experiment?
Yes, it was used quite a bit.
When you were carrying out these wire breaking and wire crushing experiments, mm-hmm. how was the obstacle course over which you tried them actually set out? What did it look like?
Well, the REs used to blow a shell holes, blow craters for us. And we'd take them down through these craters, you see. And wire was erected for us to try what each experiment was, whether it was successful or not. But we were having some difficulty with the prism periscopes that were mounted into the hull. There were three-sided periscopes, triangular, mounted into the skin of the tank, and they weren't successful. So what they did was to mount them through the roof of the cabin, the driver's cabin, both for the brakesman and the driver. And with an eyepiece, a rubber eyepiece, to go over his eye. And before that, we found that we were getting injuries to the men because they'd only got soft caps. And if they went over with a terrific bang, they'd jump up out the seat and be cutting their heads open on the bolts on the top. And that was another thing that we experimented with.
How did you deal with that?
Well, we fitted a long periscope that protruded a round periscope, tubular periscope, through the cabin roof on either side, that so that it stuck up above the roof of and came down on a level with the driver's eye. See? There'd been a fitting up in the roof of the cab, forget what it was now. But they'd jump up and the bolt head would go into their head. Now,
let's go back to the wire clearing experiments. There's one thing that I wanted to ask you. Do you remember whether there were any particular occasions when you found the wire obstacles that had been created too strong for the tanks to overcome? Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, there was several gauges of wire used, you know, and there was an extraordinarily strong one that would pull a tank up. And Jerry was using it. And that was one of the obstacles.
Mm-hmm. You also said in your notes that you did some experiments to deal with unditching.
Yes. Before they had... You see this... That was finally agreed on and fitted to the tanks. We used to carry bundles of small tree trunks and drop them into a trench and run over them. But they weren't successful.
Why not?
Well, they'd crush, though. So you can imagine some saplings were tied together and dropped into a trench, and the weight of a tank, 30, 40 tons, would crush them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they fitted this unditching gear then, which was awkward because it was bolted to the track when in use. Mm.
After the armistice was signed in November 1918, what kind of activities did you carry on with at Wareham?
Well, for one thing, we had 70,000 on each tank park, we had 70,000 pounds worth of gear to clear up in small items, our tools and small spare parts. And we got away with it without a court of inquiry. We broke files in half to make two files, for instance, and all sorts of dodges like that. But we got away with it. Spare jets, carburetor parts generally, all sorts of... Each tank park, A, B, C and D, for instance, had its own stores. And everything had to be accounted for when the armistice was signed. And
you had some trouble in doing that, did you?
A wangle, yes. But we got away without a court of inquiry.
Why was there so much missing? Just bad bookkeeping?
Lost on the tracks and that sort of thing. Mm. Tools issued.
Yeah.
See, and not returned.
Did you have to devise any activities at Wareham to keep the troops happy?
Yes.
After the war ended?
Yes, I won a cross-country race.
What sort of things were you doing to keep the men occupied?
Well, we were clearing up, which took their days up, and tanks all had to be cleaned and it'd be immaculate, you know, and all that sort of thing. They used to go up onto the tank park each day, the instructors, and clean up and take part in the overhaul of the tools and parts and that sort of thing.
Do you remember whether at Wareham you and the other men who were volunteers or conscripts got a bit cheesed off waiting for demobilisation?
Yes, well, I was foolish. I came out. As a WO1, mechanist, staff sergeant major.
Well, how did you all react to that delay?
Well, they got a bit fidgety, but we used to try and keep them amused. Sports, and that sort of thing. Running, cross country running.
When you say they got a bit fidgety, exactly what do you mean?
Well, they were grumbling and, you know, down in the mouth about the delay in being demobbed. So a lot of people, I'd got people with me as corporals, mm-hmm. businessmen.
Can you remember any examples of the way in which, say, discipline was affected by this feeling?
Well, we maintained discipline pretty well, really, but there was the undergrowth, you know, the...